Hallelujah. Nobody like him. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise him. You may take your seats. Go back, relax, and enjoy the message. Amen. To God be the glory. Now, where you are seated, I'm going to ask you to just sit down, relax, but lift up your head for just a few minutes and raise your hands up as we pray together. Hallelujah. Come on, lift those hands up before the Lord. There's something about lifting up the hands, you know. It's like a surrender. You know, the little baby that wants to be carried will lift up their hands to the parents. You know, so when you're lifting up your hands, the Lord is going to carry you. Amen. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, carry us this morning. In the name of Jesus, on eagle's wings, bear us up. Let your name be glorified in the message of the Lord. And let everyone here receive the entrance of your word as light into our souls and as our body. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm glad that we are here. Thank you for joining us today. Please, I want everybody to sit down and listen, especially the young folks. Listen to this challenge, this message this morning. I don't want people walking around and stuff like that, you know, because, you know, we do spend time in the presence of the Lord, asking the Lord what he wants us to tell his people. And, you know, we spend that time and so forth. So it's to our benefit if we do listen. This morning, empowering the next generation. Amen. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And everybody that's here this morning, you are blessed of the Lord. And I'm going to start here. I have some scriptures to read. I'll try to make it brief, but I'm going to do something at the end. So I'm going to start here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Now, we're going to be empowering the next generation. There's some things that I'm going to bring out here this morning. So stay with me. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's start here, perhaps in verse 18 or so. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Those who are in the back, go with me quickly so we can get these things up. Deuteronomy 11. I'm going to start at verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and you're going to bind them for a sign upon your hand. You know, people wear banglets or whatever they call those things. And put them as frontlets, like glasses, between your eyes. So it's always there. You can see all the time, you know. And more importantly, notice this. Ye shall teach them to your children. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Speaking of these things, when you sit in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So covering all parts of the day. Teach these things to your children. And children should also learn and be carried along with these things. Now, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house. I mean, this is not a secret thing. Blast it out everywhere. Let everybody know, you know, your moderation. Let's know where you stand and so on. Now, it says, do all these things. Put them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and in the land in which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, even as the days of heaven upon the earth. Amen. I mean, keeping the commandments of the Lord was not enough. God said, you must pass it on to the next generation. Amen. So there are some things that I want to bring out very clearly, and I will speak in some small language today so that some of the younger people, you know, when I say younger generation, you know, there's a lot of people here that's in the younger generation, but we have different categories. We have some geriatrics, older people, and we have some others that are a little less, and then we have that, this and that, and then younger folks. We have the people in their mid-20s to 30s and 40s. Then we have the teenagers, and we have even the little people, you know, the younger ones and so forth, toddlers and everything, you know. Everybody counts before the Lord. Every age, no matter where you are, remember, he is the Ancient of Days. So I don't care if you are 80 years old, 100 years old, you're still a child in his presence because he's got the countless years. Now, so God commanded us to do this. and to put these things before our children. And there was one man of whom God had this testimony in the Bible. And I'm going to ask you, if you have the opportunity to impact the younger generation, whether they are your children or they are people in the church like this, what is God's testimony about you? Let's read what God has to say about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Let's read verses 17 to 19. This is God's testimony about Abraham. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Listen to verse 19. "For I know him." That's God talking about Abraham. "I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon them," upon Abraham and his household, "that which he has spoken of him." Remember, you know, the same thing we read before. If you do all of these things, that your days may be lengthened, that God may bless you like the days of heaven and so forth. But God said of Abraham, "I know him that he will not only do this thing, but command his house and his children after him." Can you say, "Praise the Lord"? Now, that's some testimony. Now, can God say of you that "I know you"? You know, the Bible says, you know, lead your children with gravity and stuff like that. You know, of course, you know, we don't need to provoke the children on to, you know, things, but we have to lead them in the way of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about children today necessarily. I'm talking about the younger generation. There's many generations, at least behind where I stand today, there are many generations, and we need to empower them for the Lord. Now, I'm going to read some things here just to give us some promises about what our children and younger generation should be. Then I'm going to tell us a story in the Bible of where they didn't exactly do that, and we're going to see the outcome. Then I'm going to talk to the young children. I'm going to expose some things that are going on, and what we don't want you to learn. We want to show you what you should learn. Amen. Now, let's see what God has to say about children. In the book of Psalms 127, let's read verses 3 to 5 quickly. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. He said, "Behold, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Right? "As arrows." Now, these are children, folks. This is what God thinks about children. "As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Amen. That's what God thinks. And next verse says, look, "Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." That means they will take the fight to the devil. Amen. The Lord giveth strength to them that put the battle to the gate. And he'll give strength. You know, and you know, God has a lot of things to say about these young folks. Listen to what, again, he says about the younger generation. In the book of 1 John, this is the epistle of 1 John, chapter 2, verses, let's read it from verse 12. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. He's talking about the young generation. And he said, "Look, I write unto you, little children," or younger generation, "because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Amen. But the next verse, more importantly, is my challenge to us today. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." Yeah, that's true. Praise the Lord for that. "But I write unto you, young men." Now, you young men that are in here in the house today. He said, "Look, I've written unto you because you have overcome the wicked one." Amen. Now, this is what God thinks of you, folks. God doesn't think of you as some weak, you know, person that doesn't know what he's doing. God thinks of you as being strong. And that you have overcome the devil already. Amen. You know, "And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." Listen to this. Listen to this wonderful statement in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. This is what God thinks of our younger generation. Then I'm going to tell you what I think of the younger generation. "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now, this is what God thinks of the younger generation, folks. Amen. Amen. This is what God thinks of you. And this is how you should think of yourself. You know, think of yourself like that. Let no man despise your youth. Amen. There's a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4 for that one. 1 Timothy, you know, chapter 4. Let me see if I can find it. And verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Say, let no man despise thy youth. You know, don't back down. Look, and the younger generation, they have been in the shadow of the older generation for too long. It is now time for you all to step up to the plate. Amen. If you like baseball, that's a slang. You step up to the plate, and we may throw you a fastball, but you should knock it out of the park. Amen. Hallelujah. So, look, but you must step up to the plate. Now, I tell you something. You know, progression comes through the next generation. Now, if you are in a family setting and parents don't have any children, well, they really can't, you know, expand themselves. And the way you expand yourself is through your children and through the next generation. Even God being, having in within himself the attribute of a father before anything was created. You know, he wanted to express himself and reproduce himself in man. And so he did all that he did. You know, so this is how we do it. You know, we must pass on the baton to the younger generation. And they must carry on the good fight. Amen. You have to carry on the good fight, folks. You have to carry on the good fight. And there are things that we want to challenge the younger generation with today. And we also want to challenge everybody that's here. It's not just the younger generation. It's also who are a little bit older. And if you are above, you know, remember, he said, you know, this is what he said. Let me read to you again. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but do what? Be thou an example of the believers. This is to the young folks. Now, Timothy was a young man, but he was a pastor and so forth like that. You know, and Paul was telling him that, look, don't let anybody despise your youth, you know, just because they are older and so forth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Amen. Now, purity is very important. I'll be talking about that in a little bit. Now, let me read a story here. There are two parts to this story, you know, that indicate what happens when people don't follow through with this commandment of making sure that they bring the younger generation along. This is what happens when they don't do that. Turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 2. Very interesting story here. Judges chapter 2, and I'm going to start from verses 6 through 10. Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. And when Joshua had let the people go, and the children of Israel went every man into their inheritance to possess the land, you know, so this is, you know, towards the end and so forth. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. They served the Lord. Joshua was a commander, you know, and they served the Lord. And he told them point blank, choose you this day whom you will serve, and so forth. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord and my house. You know, he commanded his house after the Lord. He commanded even that generation after the Lord. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders. Remember, notice, the elders, all the elders that were in the generation of Joshua. People served the Lord all through that generation. But let's see what happened after that. Even all the elders that outlived Joshua, see, all the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord, they all served the Lord. Because they had seen all that God did for Israel. So, not only was Joshua among those that got this testimony of somebody that walked before the Lord. All the people in his days, they walked before the Lord. All the people in his generation, the elders, they walked before the Lord. Now, but let's see the sad thing that happened after this. You know, and when Joshua died, they buried him and so on and so forth. And then in verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So when all that whole generation died, then there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. Why is it that they didn't know the Lord? I mean, Joshua knew the Lord. He commanded the people in all his days. All the people in his generation knew the Lord. But when all those people passed away, then there arose another generation after them, folks, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he did, because these people did not follow the commandment of telling it to the following generation, of commanding the following generation, of seeking it to them and carrying them along. It's not just enough for us to be there. We got to pass it on to the next generation. Amen. Amen. That's right. So this was a sad story. And when that generation that knew the Lord, that knew about all the great works coming out of Egypt and so on, you know, when they passed away, the other people that came after them knew nothing about the Lord. And that is a big indictment to that generation that passed on. How come the younger generation that came after them knew nothing about God's testimonies, knew nothing about the things that God had done, knew nothing about the Lord? How come? Well, this is the challenge to everybody in the house today. To those of us who are in the older generation, and, you know, no matter where you are, Bible says, be thou an example of the believers. Now, I'm going to tell us a, you know, bring it down to earth here. You know, how many people like track and field? You like track and field? Let me see your hand. If you like track and field. Okay, good. Well, I love track and field. You know, and I used to do the sprints when I was young. You know, so, and in my days, the highlight of any track event, and I did a few of those, was not actually the individual sprints. It was the 4x100 in my days. And the 4x100, and I was privileged to be in a renowned relay team then back in the days in Nigeria. And I ran the anchor leg, so I knew a thing or two about passing the baton. But you know that it is not just about putting the fastest four people together in a relay race. How many of you know that? It's exactly, they need to be fast, but everybody else in the race is fast. You know, now in individual races, just like the Bible says, you know, in one, you know, in Ecclesiastes, say the race is not to the swift. Well, in individual races, the race is to the swift. But in relay, the race is not just to the swift. The race is into that exchange of the baton. And if you don't exchange that baton correctly, I don't care how fast you are. In the 1996 Olympics, held right here in Atlanta, the U.S. relay team, they were built to win. I mean, they were won every championship and so forth throughout the season and all that. And they were going to win. They fumbled the baton and they lost to Canada. And there are many more stories like that. I can tell you about the U.S. team, but I don't want to tell you all of that. You know, there are many times that great teams have lost the races because they fumbled the baton. Now, there has to be precision, but there has to be collaboration. How many of you say amen? Amen. The person that finishes his own section of the relay must pass on the baton to the next person, and there must be a smooth exchange. You know, now remember, these sprinters are very fast. They can run the 100 meters in 10 seconds or so. You know, so if you delay, just some fumbling of the baton there can cause you to lose your position in the race. And it has happened many, many times. Now, what am I saying? What I am saying is this, that look, we're not just in an individual race, folks. Yes, we are an individual race, but it's also a team race. We've got to bring the younger generation along. How many of you say amen? Amen. God expected it of Abraham. He even testified about it for Abraham. Said, I know him. He's not only going to just serve me and run an individual race, but he is going to bring his household along. He's going to command his children after him. I know him for that. And that's the thing that God liked about Abraham, you know. So, folks, it's not just about individual races, you know. We got to bring the team along. I'll tell you a dream that I saw so many years ago. I didn't understand the dream then, but I understood later after some days. But it seemed like there was a lot of people, and I recognized them to be believers. And we seemed to be trying to get out of some big ditch, and we couldn't get out of it. And, you know, so there was this big figure. He came and was standing on top of the ditch and throwing a line and ready to pull people out. But he gave only one simple rule. You know, when you hold on to that rope, you make sure the next person behind you holds on to you and everybody. And he wasn't going to pull the people out unless everybody formed a human chain. He wasn't going to leave anybody behind, you know. And if somebody fell out of the chain, then the whole people were left behind. You know, in that dream. Now, you know, and I recognize from that, look, you know, when you are in the race, you're running the race, you must keep the faith and you must run the race. But we got to bring along the other people as well. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But Jesus was not interested in just his own thing alone. His purpose was to bring others. In fact, he said, other sheep I have that are not yet of this fold, them also I must bring. And there will be one shepherd and one fold. So it's not just about you alone. You know, when you stand before the Lord, are you going to be empty-handed? I mean, can God say of you even now that there is, he knows that it's in you, that you are going to be an example of the believer and you are going to be commanding people. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor, but you must be an example of the believer. Amen. Amen. But then, why can't you be a pastor? Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, I never went to seminary school, you know, but I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. And I remember, folks, just my own personal testimony, I've always believed that the revival in any generation comes through the youth, because I experienced it personally. And today, it'll be the same. But our young people are not thinking so. So I'm here to set the record straight. We are counting on you young people, folks. Amen. And you got to step up. Hallelujah. You know, because in those days, we stepped up. You know, when I became a believer, I was only 17 years old. You know, and it didn't matter the people that were ahead of me or the people that were behind me. You know, I was an example of the believer by the grace of God. And I did not know, I did not back down from anybody. And nobody could put me down because I was a young man. In fact, young folks, I tell you this today. I didn't go to seminary school, but before I was the age of 20 years old, and some of you may know this place called Rope Park in Lagos, in Nigeria, big place by the stadium there, I preached my first open-air crusade before I was the age of 20 years old. You know, and in those days, people said, well, it's youthful exuberance. It's going to pass away. But look at me today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. It's not youthful exuberance, and it did not pass away. I remember when I was in high school, I used to have a little brooch called Jesus Saves. And when I got to university, I also wore that brooch. And there were some of my classmates, they didn't know my name. One particular guy never knew my name. He called me Jesus Saves all the time. Jesus Saves. I said, yeah, that's right. And he can save you too. Amen. You know, and then one day after I left, I was walking along the streets of Lagos in Nigeria. And I ran into this guy. You know, and he said, hey, Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, and he was one of those people that used to say, useful exuberance. Well, useful exuberance, nothing. In fact, by the grace of God, you know, I'm closer to the Lord now than I was then. Amen. That's right. You know, so revelation is progressive. So don't ever think that, you guys are right here, right now. And you got to seize the moment. Praise the Lord. But to set the record straight, let me go back to some fundamental things that are weakening this coming generation and the generations after. These are the things, and I want to talk about it today. First, let me talk about gender. Because, you know, pun intended, there is an agenda, you know, to mess up gender, knowledge in this country and even around the world. You know, Lucifer, that old slimy serpent, that spirit of deception, you know, has a way, you know, and so forth. And in this nation today, you boys and girls, you young folks, listen to me. And I said boys and girls, you know, today they are teaching the young people. They don't want to even call them boys and girls anymore. They just call them kids or people. And you young folks, listen to me. They may be telling you that if you are a boy, you can be a girl. Or if you are a girl, you can be a boy. No. If you are a girl, you are a girl. And if you are a boy, you are a boy. And you cannot switch. Praise the Lord. So let me establish this and tell you. And these are the things that parents should be telling their children. Because look, they are telling them some other things outside. There is gender separation in the Bible. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created them. In the image of He created them. Male and female created He them. Not whatever they are calling it today. No. God created them male and female. That's right from the beginning. And Jesus referred to this also in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. What did He say when they asked Him about divorce and so forth? He said, look, in the beginning it was not so. Put up Matthew 19 verse 4 for me. He said, you know, it was not so. Have you never read, He which made them in the beginning made them male and female? That's right. You know, God didn't leave it up to your choice to determine whether you are going to be a boy or a girl. You know, now if you want to think, if they want to say that you don't know what you are doing and you don't know who you are, well, okay, let me read to you, you know, what happens when they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. This is what happens. It's all in the Bible, folks. And this is a problem that we need to deal with this generation coming up. Because in my days, when I was a young man, there was no such thing. Praise the Lord. And if we are not careful, see, the light is gradually diminishing until we are back in the dark ages again. Folks, this is serious business. Amen. But not on our watch. Amen. Not on my watch, folks. And it shouldn't be on your watch either. In the book of Romans chapter 1, you can read, you know, all of it, but I'm just going to read parts of it. You know, this is what happens to people when they don't want to retain knowledge of God in their minds. And they think they are wiser than God. When God create, you know, God create them one way, they say, no, you know, we want it a different way. Well, you know, so listen to this. From verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their own imaginations, and the foolishness of their heart were darkened and so forth. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of God, of the incorruptible God, into the image of like incorruptible beasts and things like that and so forth. Wherefore God also gave them up to be to uncleanness through the loss of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They change the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve, you know, and so forth. The creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Before even their women, see, this is the genderless thing. The women did change their natural use from that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, they leave their being men. They, you know, they leave, you know, it used to be a man and a woman. Amen. Amen, folks. It used to be Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. And as far as God is concerned, it is a man and a woman in holy matrimony. And we need to teach this to our children. Now, men leave women alone. They are burned into one another. Men with women, women with women, walking that which is unseen. Do you know that they have even gone beyond Sodom now? Amen. Jesus said, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be. They've gone, the LGBT and so forth like that. You know, now, this is, I'm preaching in the church, folks. Amen. And I'm not going to be politically correct. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell it like it is. Because the handwriting is on the wall against this nation. It is on the wall. And it's just a matter of time. But God is looking for those who are sighing for the abominations of the land. And he's going to separate them. He's going to mark them. The common writer, he's busy. He's looking for those who are sighing for the abominations. And he's going to separate them. They might be counted worthy to escape and to stand before the Son of Man. But this generation, they will not escape except they repent. Now, LGBT, I don't even know what that nonsense means. You know, there's L for lesbians, there's G for gays, there's, you know, bisexual or even bestiality. I don't know what it means. You know, transsexual or whatever. All of these things are the abominations of their minds. Because God gave them up to nonsense. Because they did not want to receive God in their knowledge. So read all of these things. Read it to the end. They are filled with uncleanness, fornication, and all of these things. And even in schools today, they are teaching the young folks. Look, you little boys, you are a boy if you are a boy. And you little girls, you are a girl if you are a girl. And you cannot decide one day that you want to be a girl if you are a boy. Or one day that you want to be a boy if you are a girl. You can't do that, folks. And they are even teaching them today that, you know, they create bathrooms that they can go into anything. It's genderless and all this. This is nonsense. You know? And God is going to judge this nation. And preachers better stand up and preach the warnings of God. How great are the warnings of God? Loves this nation, just like Israel. God loves this nation. I mean, there's no nation except Israel that God loved like this one. But I tell you something, folks. God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah. God said, look, when I determine in my heart to bless a nation, if that nation walk away from my ways, I will change my mind and I'll bring upon them evil. But if an evil nation turns their heart around, then I also will bless them. Amen. So we need to pray for this nation now. So that's one thing, starting even from, see, the enemy has a game plan. Get all the little folks confused. Get them all messed up in their minds, you know, right from when they're little. And then when they grow up, they don't know whether they're boys or girls. You know, it can be anything they want, you know, and so on. That is abomination. Abomination, folks. So, you know, let's give God the glory that he knew what he was doing when he made them male and female. Amen. Amen. Now, and as you grow up, you young folks, take a stand. You know, don't let your teacher tell you are a boy if you are a girl. It doesn't matter what you are. Tell them it matters. If you are a girl, you are a girl. Amen. Amen. I actually wish I was a young person in this generation growing up here. Because, man, I would have lights on fire. Say amen. Because we did in our own time. Now, we didn't back up from anybody. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I'm challenging everybody today. You know, there was scripture union in my days for many, many years in my school. You know. And one of the premier schools in that nation, too. The year that I was appointed president of the scripture union, they banned the scripture union that year. And they have been there for many, many years. A tradition in our school. Why? Because by the grace of God, we stood up for the truth. and not the pampering of things. And when people believed the word of God, there was revival fires everywhere. And the young people, they got up and told their teachers that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. And they said, well, we got to put an end to this. You know, because people stood up. Stand up for Jesus, folks. Let them try to put an end to it if they can, but they couldn't. In fact, that when they shut down the scripture, you know, then, in fact, we had the greatest revival in that college after they shut down the scripture, you know. Because God inspired the people, and we used to get up like 3 a.m. in the night and go into some broken down, you know, building in the bush. We were in the dormitory in those days, and then begin to praise the Lord and so forth. And it was so great that one day we decided we're going to bring the meeting back into the campus. And we were going to have the meeting right in front of the principal's office. That's right. And we did. And everybody was coming back and forth and going. They have to pass through that room to go to the cafeteria. And we stood up and said, well, we're going to have this meeting, so let's pray that God will make this place invisible. Now, people think that God cannot do anything. Well, I tell you what, we made that simple prayer that day, and we opened the window blinds, and everybody was passing around. They didn't even see that we were there. Amen. And we had that glorious meeting. How did I know that? Because a week later, we went and had another meeting in that same room, and we forgot to pray that prayer. And before we even started, in fact, we were just sitting down, just talking. Before we even started, people were banging on the doors. You people have started again. We thought they said this, and, you know, so. But the day when we were shouting and screaming and people were receiving the Holy Ghost and so forth, we opened the window blinds, we opened everything, people were passing by and so forth. They didn't see it because we believe God. Amen. Now, it wouldn't even matter if they had seen it, but I'm just telling you that there's nothing that God cannot do. Now, for lack of time, let me begin to wind down this and bring it home to us. That one, people in any generation have a solemn duty, not only for them to be faithful to the word of God. What is it that God required of thee, O man? Huh? But to walk humbly before the Lord. Keep his commandments. Keep, you know, and not do all those things and so forth, you know. But on top of that, you must pass on the faith to those who are behind you. Can you say amen? It's not just enough for you to make it, folks. You must pass on. God is looking for people like Abraham that he can say, I know him. He will command the people after him. Now, that's you and your families. That's wherever you are. That's you being an example of the believer, wherever you are. And that's also in the church. So we have a lot of young people in the church here. You know, and it's time for you to step up. Amen. Step up. You know, we want you to step up to the plate. And if we throw you a ball, knock it out of the park. Amen. Because God said you are strong. And you have overcome the devil. And you are for signs and wonders. And you can do these things. You know, and we started, you know, we tried to empower the younger generation. Let them do a Bible study here and this and that and so on and so forth. You know, but more is coming by the grace of God. Amen. We want everybody in every phase of life, wherever you are, to be able to not only fight the good fight, but carry along the people that are behind you. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet here this morning and give the Lord a hand clap if you understand that message. Praise the Lord. Let's clap for Jesus. Because of the sake of time, I had to abbreviate some things. But I think you got the gist. You know, finally, my brethren, let me say to the younger folks once again, let no man despise thy youth. Step up and accept the responsibility. Joshua was a young man, and he stepped up in the days of Moses. You know, when everybody else said, we don't want to hear that, you know, Joshua stepped up. And he was by the mount when Moses was up there. Well, he knew that they said nobody should come to the mount, but he just stayed at the bottom of the mount. You know, and he was the first person to see Moses coming down, you know, from that mount and all that. You know, he stepped up, you know, and look at all the things he accomplished. Even the great Moses, he could not take the people into the promised land. But Joshua, the young man, he did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what generation we are in. I don't know which one we parallel right now. I don't know whether we parallel the generation of Joshua that go into the promised land, or maybe it's the ones coming after us. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that not only must we run this race, but we must pass the baton carefully to the people behind us and the next generation. Amen. And when you get that baton, do not drop the baton. If you drop the baton, then all the problem is going to be on your head. You know, so praise the Lord. And I remember when I used to run those races, I used to tell the people, just make sure you give me the baton. I'll bring the race home. Amen. And I always brought the race home. All I had to do was get the baton. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are here this morning and you understand the challenge, you know, this is for everybody. We're challenging the people who are older to bring the people who are younger. And we're challenging the people who are younger to step up. Amen. Step up and be identified with Christ. You know, don't say, oh, it's for the old people. It's not just for the old. Are we serving two gods? Are we serving different gods? We need to close that generation gap, folks. You know, I mean, sometimes when we have Bible study or prayer meeting, it's only certain people in the older generation that come. Young people, oh no, they don't have any time for that. Step up, folks. Hallelujah. This revival that everybody has been praying for and so forth, it is on you, you younger generation. It's on you. That's right. Because, you know, we've been in this thing since the 70s. Now is your turn. That's right. It's on you now, folks. And if we don't have this revival, it's on you. You know, so you need to step up. Now, I know it's also on us to make sure that you step up, but it's on you to make sure you step up. Praise the Lord. Now, I am going to pray. And I'm going to challenge, you know, just give me a few more minutes to finish this. I'm going to challenge anybody, parents alike. If you have not been doing your right duty in teaching these young ones, making sure they are not confused, I'm challenging you today. Revive that family altar. Amen. Teach these children the way that they should go. Proverbs 22 and 6. And when they are grown, they will not depart from me. But if you don't teach them, somebody else is going to teach them. Amen. Now I'm going to challenge the young people to step up. This is what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm going to challenge the young people to step up. And if you want me to pray, I'm just going to pray a quick prayer for you. I want you to come up, stand before me here for a minute, because this is important. So I can say that I have delivered the message and I've done my part. Paul said, now, you know, nobody can lay anything to my child. Step up, young people, and come here. Let me pray for you. Don't look at somebody else. If you really want to step up, step up to the front and say, look, I need to step up. You know, and I'm talking about we're raising a standard now. The Bible says in Isaiah 62 and verse 12, raise a standard for the people. Gather out the stones. Make a highway for them. I'm raising a standard for you young folks today. You know, not to just be just like the rest of the world and don't care about anything that's going on. No. Take a stand for Jesus. In and outside of the church. And even those of you who are in the church, take a stand. Step up. There's so many parts of the ministry. Coming soon, you will be hearing more about that. There's so many parts of the ministry that you can step up. Don't just be a passenger in the church. I mean, what good is that? And don't just be, you know, there. Be a part of the progress and be a part of the revolution. The Jesus revolution and the impact. This place is called the Phoenix Impact Center, folks. How much of an impact are you making in your generation? Hallelujah. Those of you who are here, come forward and let me pray for you. Just come closer. Come closer. I want everybody, wherever you are, lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, they stepped out this morning. The Bible says, unto the Lord shall the gathering of the people be. They're not gathered unto me. They're gathered unto the Lord. No matter where you are in high school, you are in college, you are wherever. Be counted for Jesus. Step up. You know, don't be a nonentity. Don't be somebody that's a stealth believer. Don't be a secret service agent. Be known for Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move upon these young people. Empower them to take this baton that we are passing to them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord give you the grace and the strength in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's seen your hearts. You desire to serve the Lord, and he'll be with you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord empower you to serve him with all your heart in Jesus' name. Not only when you are at church, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about wherever you are. And we're talking about church too. It's all comprehensive message here today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, help them to step up in Jesus' name. Step up. And those of you who have been with the Lord, the Bible says, be careful not to let anything slip of the things that you have known. Praise God. Don't give up what you know. Build on what you already know. Hallelujah. Don't compromise your position for anything. Build on what you already know. The Lord is coming soon, folks. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all over this place, I want us to lift our hands. We're going to pray together. Those of you who are in the audience that didn't come out, and those who are here together, let's pray together. Father, as a body, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, we believe God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray against the spirit of deception that is coming into this world, trying to deceive these young ones. You know, the Bible says it were better than that a millstone be put on their neck and they should be cast into the sea than they should try to deceive or hurt any of these little ones with all those doctrines they are bringing in, but not on our watch in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, Lord, help us to bring up these children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And for those of them that are stepping forward today, Father, we put the mantle of grace by the grace of God upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let them be bold. Let them have good courage in the Lord. And let them not be afraid. And let them be able to speak with the enemies in the gate. Let them take the battle to the gate in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, blessed be the Lord God that giveth strength to those that take the battle to the gate in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be like mighty arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And you are going to do great things. You'll be for signs and for wonders in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The praise team may come up. Thank you.